Thanks to everybody who's here. This is an important meeting, as we've been saying for the last, I think, 9 months since we commissioned this study. It's been that long since we were able to put a grant application together. The state has supported this project to the tune of a $50,000 municipal restructuring grant with other money coming in from the city and the county. We commissioned CGR to do a report that looks carefully at police services in Tompkins County with an eye toward finding ways to provide those services more effectively and efficiently. CGR has been at this for a long time under the supervision of a steering committee that was set up to oversee progress on the report. Steering committee was the only vehicle we could figure out that would bring in representatives of all the affected jurisdictions into the review of the ongoing project. And the steering committee has stuck together from the outset until now, which is the handoff really to the governing bodies, to listen to what Paul and CGR have to say today, to get an understanding of the way police services are currently provided, what they cost, who does what, and so forth, to hear what kind of the skeleton of some outlines might look like, and then begin thinking about what should we do. Are there options in this mix that Paul will present today that look interesting enough to keep pursuing through further study and discussion? So that's really the point that we are at today. A couple of things I'd like to note, because when the legislature first heard this idea that we may want to look at doing police services differently, the legislature made it clear that the public needs to be involved in this decision. And a great deal of the time that's been taken by CGR and their partner Highland Group and all of us who've been involved have been to fulfill that desire on the part of this legislature. So there was a kickoff public meeting that was well attended. That helped kind of give some shape to the study. And then at the end of the study, three public input sessions were held across the county. Not so well attended, but at least the outreach was made, the effort was made to invite the public into that stage of the conversation. So I do think it's important for the legislature to know that CGR and we have made good on that commitment. Just in terms of some of the logistics, the report that you will talk about tonight and see is online. It's on the webpage. We also, if there are people in the room that would like a hard copy, there are extra hard copies of the report on that back table. There should be plenty for everyone who's here. So, Rich, I think with that, I can introduce Paul Bishop, who we've come to know over the past almost year in this and the other study, and would ask him to walk us through their findings and recommendations.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, and thank you for the invitation to be here this evening or afternoon. Just a quick correction, it's not the full report that we have copies of here. It's the executive summary. Full report goes about 150 pages or so. The executive summary is about 20. I made a very similar presentation to this, same set of slides, about a week ago to the City Council. So they are also interested in this. This is kind of the endpoint for the project is presenting to both governing bodies. Joe did a great job introducing the start of this. Our partners in this project were the Highland Planning Group in Rochester. They helped us with the public engagement portions of the project. So they helped administer the survey and facilitated our public discussions. This afternoon, kind of the topics that I'm going to cover is going to give a brief overview of the project, give an excerpt of the baseline report, then talk about the options that we considered, give some of the feedback from the meetings, and then talk about what the next steps, the potential next steps are for this body as well as for City Council along a parallel track. So the project overview, as Joe stated, we started in last December was our official kickoff date. We were asked to conduct a feasibility study that would explore options for structural alignment and improved efficiency for a subset of existing law enforcement agencies that serve the residents of Tompkins County. We had five agencies that were primarily involved: Cayuga Heights, Dryden, Groton, all three villages, the City of Ithaca, and the Tompkins County Sheriff's Office. You'll note that Trumansburg chose not to participate in the study. And we also spent some time learning about how the New York State Police operate, because they provide a substantial portion of the 911 response in the county. We also spent some time with the three different colleges learning about how they provide service, since they also have a pretty significant impact. All of the documents related to this project are available on the project website, cgr.org/Tompkins LESS for Law Enforcement Shared Services. That website is going to stay up there. The company started doing websites about a decade ago, and if you know the URL, they're all up there. So we don't move things when we're done. So I think this is important. So if, you know, in 2 or 3 years you decide to revisit this topic, the information is going to be there. We started with what we refer to as a baseline examination, where we want to figure out what it is that goes on in the today in law enforcement in the county. And I tried to boil down a 120-page report into one slide. So there's obviously bringing it to a high level here. The five departments involved, plus the troopers, Cuga Heights has 7 officers full-time, 9 officers part-time. Their aim is to have one officer on patrol 24/7. During the day, they have additional officers and the chief available to help investigate crimes and to conduct other police activities. Their budget annually is about $1.2 million, serving a population of 3,800. And I'll talk about these call numbers in a minute in comparison with each other, but they answer about 1,250 911 calls per year, and their index crime.
I'm sorry, Paul.
Sure.
I don't think that we have exactly that. Do you have a set of this? Do you have the slides on paper or not?
I do. Yes.
I didn't get that.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
Yep. One of the things that discovered in this report and is common is every law enforcement agency measures their activity a little bit differently. And however, 911 calls are a constant base of that activity. So we're talking about the 911 calls that were received in Cuga Heights. And the index crimes you can consider to be felonies. Those are have a standard definition. They're recorded by each agency, the county, the state, and the federal government. They all track things and measure things, define things the same way. And when we look at it, we always try and do a 5-year average, because any 1 year you can have a spike up or a drop off, but when you look over 5 years, you get really a sense of what's going on in the community. So they had 39.2 index crimes over that 5-year average. Village of Dryden is a smaller department, and they were a moving target throughout the process. They started the year as a not full-service law enforcement agency. They were providing police services about 20 hours a day. And then they made a decision in about March to move to a 24-hour-a-day operation. They had been a 24-hour-a-day operation. Then they went back to 20 hours for about 3 years, and then they decided to go back to 24. So they have 5 full-time officers, 9 part-timers. They had an operating budget of about $600,000. Again, if we were to run this report next year, these figures would be different for Dryden. They're adding more full-timers, and as a result, their cost, their budget is going to go up. They serve a population of 2,000, and you'll notice their 911 call volume is higher than Cuga Heights for half the population. So they have a lot more use of the 911 center, as well as their index crimes are substantially higher than Cuga Heights. Again, half the population. Village of Groton operates only 16 hours a day. They have 1 full-time officer, and there's actually a lot of turnover in that position. That officer frequently moves. They stay in that. Over the last decade or so, that officer has held that position for about 18 months or so before moving into a full-time position somewhere else. And then they fill the rest of that staff with 15 part-timers. For the three villages, those part-time officers, some of them come from other full-time police agencies. Some of those come from their retirees, so they worked full-time somewhere else. They retired, and then they continue to work part-time as a police officer. And some of them come from one of the community or one of the colleges or universities and work as a municipal police officer for one of those three villages. So the budget in Groton is substantially lower because they only have the one full-timer to worry about. Their population is higher than Dryden. Their 911 calls fall between Cayuga Heights and Dryden, as do their index crimes. And I'll give you kind of the rates of how people compare per thousand in just a second. City of Ithaca is your largest police department with 69 full-time staff. Again, that was a little bit of a moving target as the project went on, but we agreed that 69 was a solid number that we could use. Their operational budget, and this is just personnel, this doesn't necessarily include benefits, I think, in this slide. $10.3 million, and their population they serve is 31,000, and their 911 call volume is the highest that you see, both in raw number, but it's not actually the highest in per capita. That falls to Dryden. Their index crime, again, are the highest, but when you look at their rate, they're not that far above where Dryden is. And I'll give those in a minute. The sheriff's office has 40 full-time officers, operates for about $6 million a year, serving the population outside the city and outside the villages. So that's how we end up with 65,000. So this isn't obviously your whole county population. It's just those areas outside the city and the three or four villages. So we subtracted Trumansburg out as well. Take a look at the 911 call volume, and you'll note the state troopers, they don't have a population number under theirs because they serve the same 911 calls as the sheriff's office. They use a closest car concept, so if a call comes in the town of Newfield and they have to figure out who's the closest vehicle, whether it's a sheriff's vehicle or a trooper, they send the closest. If they require two officers to that particular call, say it's a domestic event, they may send one trooper and one sheriff's officer if those are the two closest to that vehicle, to that event. And the index crimes as well, we need to consider those across that whole population of 65,000. So when we take a look at it on a per thousand basis, the busiest for the 911 calls is the village of Dryden, where they have 712 calls per 1,000 residents. So they're answering a lot of 911 calls. And the lowest is actually in the county, outside the city and the villages, where it's only 250 or so 911 calls per 1,000 residents. There's some different variation as well. Cayuga Heights is slower than both Groton and the city. Groton and the city are actually kind of close to each other with their 911 call volume. So in order, it goes from Dryden at 700 and change to the city at 580, Groton at 512, and then Cayuga Heights at 330, and then the two county agencies at 250. So that's where the busyness falls out with the 911 call volume. When we look at the index crimes, it follows a similar pattern, although the highest rate of crimes per 1,000 residents is in the city at 38 crimes per 1,000 residents over that five-year average. Dryden falls to 36.5. Groton goes to 21, and then the county outside the city and villages and Groton are both at about 10. So you see that number begins to drop as we get a little bit more rural. So, Martha, I don't have the ratios up there.
Okay.
I calculated them, and I'm sharing them with you.
And
they are actually in the report itself, but for brevity of the presentation, I only pulled one slide together. Any questions about how that goes? I just want to get you a sense of what the activity is like for the different communities, who's busier and why. Yes.
So in situations where you have closest responder, what is the hierarchy in terms of who is in control of that situation?
So when it occurs clearly in the county jurisdiction, whoever is there first is the one who's going to be responsible for it. So if the trooper arrives and it's in Newfield, I'll use that as an example because that's pretty clear, they're responsible for it. Or if the sheriff's office arrives, they're responsible for it.
Even if somebody from the local jurisdiction shows up subsequently.
Well, so that's why I said Newfield. Yeah. That's clearly the county and trooper jurisdiction.
Yeah.
So if we were to take, for example, the village of Dryden, And the Village of Dryden officer is tied up on a call, and there's a high-priority call that happens in the Village of Dryden. The sheriff or the trooper might be the first one to respond, and they could actually maintain that call for the whole duration of it, or they may turn it over to the local jurisdiction, and that's kind of an ad hoc decision.
Thank you.
However, when there's a call in the town of Dryden, and the Village of Dryden responds out to the town of Dryden, which happens on a relatively regular basis, the Village of Dryden officer just holds the scene, begins to establish some sort of control, and as soon as a sheriff or a trooper arrives on that scene, they turn control over to that that officer. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. Okay.
Martha?
Would you be able to prepare a graph or a table or a summary of those ratios that you just verbalized? Because, I mean, if that's kind of what I need to know. It's like the raw numbers, I'm trying to juggle this in my head. Send that to us later.
Martha, I believe it's fully in the report, and if it's not, I'll generate
that. Yeah, just if it's important enough to report on here, it'd be good to see it all in one place. Appreciate that.
Okay.
Anna?
Whatever it's worth for me, it was very easy, rough of what you were saying to just divide the 911 calls by the population. I could get a sense of the fact that Dryden was way above at 0.71, I think.
Yeah.
But the county was 0.16. But that is very misleading because they also support every municipality, is what you're saying. That's the one piece that I'm...
So this
it's 0.16 with respect to anything outside of the municipalities in the city of the calls. That's
right.
What I'm understanding.
Yes.
But I'm thinking of workload itself affecting those FTEs, and it's a different story.
So, let's take a look at the geography as well. So the sheriff, if a sheriff is responsible for, again, this appears in the report. I don't have that map to project with the size of the zones. Actually, I'll have that up in a second. But you can see that the sheriff officer zones are rather large compared to the beats that that IPD is responsible for.
Exactly the reason
so,
that I'm saying.
You may have wouldn't be unusual for a 20-minute drive for a deputy or a trooper to respond to a call, whereas, you can get anywhere in the city of Ithaca within that 20-minute
drive. Right. And the only reason I bring it up is because if we're going to create a shared services, depending on the extent to which we're considering combining, they have different ranges, and that would need to be adjusted to coordinate to make sure that no one's dropped. I'm just acknowledging that they're not comparable.
Right, and law enforcement, when you look at the different types of law enforcement agency, everyone has a different kind of culture. And how they, the types of emergencies, it would be very unusual for a Ithaca police officer to have to put down a deer after a deer strike.
Mm-hmm.
But that wouldn't at all be unusual for a sheriff's deputy or a trooper.
Mm-hmm.
So in just things along those lines, the types of skills that they have to interact with in their day-to-day life are different.
Right. So just jumping, one of the things that you said was I wanted to show you these numbers to show you what the differences are and why. I don't hear any why here. I'm assuming that's what you're getting into, why we might be seeing these differences, because I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, wow, Dryden is a real outlier, and I have no idea why. And do you think it's TC3? So then, and you don't obviously include Cornell, so that would have skewed the city tremendously.
Right. And so the answer about TC3 has their own law enforcement that handles everything that happens on their campus. But from interaction with the Dryden chief, they have a number of TC3 residents and visitors who may or may not, who interact with the village community. They have an awful lot of traffic issues with the main flow of the artery through the village of Dryden.
You would expect that, though. I mean, the city of Ithaca would be dealing with the same thing, even though Cornell has its own and IC has its own, and yet their number was, 0.5 compared to 0.7 or almost 0.8 for Dryden. So it's curious. I mean, do you think that it's TC3 that's the cause of that significant increase?
Not entirely. There's also a little bit of the Dryden Police advertise their services well and encourage people to use 911 to request. So, you know, if you have a neighbor complaint or something, that they will encourage the use to request for the officer for that.
That helps. Yeah.
Martha?
But then you see what was in our packet, the top 15 incident nature dispatched and officer initiated, big, you know, traffic is the top one, and we see that. And then property check, which you mentioned, the Dryden Police encourages residents to do that when they, you know, if they're on vacation. But the traffic flow through 13, that's, you know, maybe the busiest or almost the busiest road in the county.
And again, each one of them, I'm trying to, I have about an hour with you, and I could go on the baseline report for a couple of hours trying to explain in detail how people are different, how the responses, what the natures of incidents are. And I have to kind of skim over that so we can get into some of the other material. Each community has different challenges with their law enforcement, what their activities are like, and you know, what, the level of service that they choose to provide. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. The summary, the executive summary that there's copies of, goes into this to some degree, and then the full report goes on a little bit longer. So I do want to share how the sheriff's office does their, what their top 15 incidents are, what their activities are, and this is both dispatch and officer initiated. And if you're following along on the printed slides, you'll see that there's something there for the whole county and there's something there for IPD. I'm only going to talk about the sheriff's office right now. There are similar slides like this for every agency in the full report. Traffic, by and large, is the largest. And you'll notice there's a big jump from 2015 to 2016. And that had to do with the implementation of the body cameras, is that they had to track incidents and have a CR, a record for each one of their interactions with the public, whereas before they might not have always recorded an interaction with the public. So in this case, every time they're interacting with the public, their body camera's on, they need to have an event number that logs, that matches with it. So that's the reason why you'll see a lot of the 2016 totals are higher than they were in 2015, because there might be some in 2015 that were handled without a record being kept of it, and in 2016 they needed to. But there's also some additional workload that's occurring. So it's a combination of the two, but a jump from 3,000 to 3,800, a good portion of that is attributable to the need for incidents with the body cameras. And you'll see traffic incidents, and these actually are not accidents. That's the next column over. So we start with traffic, and then we get into accidents, which fall into two categories, property damage and injury. Property damage account for almost 90% of the accidents, and the remaining 10 are ones where there's actually an injury. Complaints, there's a number of different categories, civil complaints, neighborhood complaints, noise complaint, that barking dog, all of that kind of gets lumped into one category here. Assist is that law enforcement equivalent of a miscellaneous. That is any time there's an assist to citizen that occurs, and you know, the officers are recording that, and it's kind of a generic catch-all category for something that doesn't fall into something else. And then we get into alarms and welfare check. And I won't go all the way across, but you begin to see that these 15 categories account for about 70% of the work of the law enforcement agencies. And we break it down in the report, and we go into about another 30 categories just so you can see how, you know, there's some things they might do only once or twice a year or categorize it only once or twice a year. This is a map of Tompkins County. I'm sure you're very familiar with it. And what do the dots mean? We have on here, and this scale, even you know, showing it up here on the screen, is more readable than what you have printed in front of you, and neither one of them are that great. So what we have on the project website is the ability to zoom in. In particular, if you're trying to look at what's going on in the city of Ithaca and or the town of Ithaca, you need to be able to zoom in. But this is showing the location of three different categories of incidents, assaults, which we also included assault, fight, harassment, menacing, rape, and prowling. Those were lumped together into one category. Sexual abuse was another, and then weapons-related was a third. And each one of these have different color dots and shaped dots. And as you, I really would encourage you to look at our website, and we have under documents, there's a mapping page, and you can customize your map. We have five different categories of crime that we mapped, and you can zoom in to look at each one of the villages, as well as the city of Ithaca and the town of Ithaca, just so you get an idea of what the pattern is related to the crime in the community. This would be important, and you know, if you're beginning to look at countywide services, how would you do that? Villages would be concerned, wow, I'm going to lose my law enforcement services. The answer is no, because if you're sharing your resources based on where the events are, you're going to have resources in Groton. You're going to have resources in Trumansburg. You're going to have resources in Dryden, and you're going to have a lot more a lot of your resources in and around the city of Ithaca. But you know, criminals don't stop at the town line. If there's a target of opportunity in the town that's not far from the city, they're going to take advantage of that, and that's something. Right now, the patrolling doesn't consider that. You have a different group of people that are patrolling in the city of Ithaca than you do in the town of Ithaca. Again, there's a lot of material in the baseline report that describes what's going on in the community right now. One of the things we did as part of our survey, or part of the baseline, was we did a survey of the community. This was not a very scientifically based survey. It was what would be referred to as a convenience sample, and it was a very convenient sample, but we did our best to try and get people to answer it. We worked with both the county and the city to get press releases out, media reports out, and over a six-week time period, we had about 1,000 responses, so 970 responses. That actually broke down, we were quite happy to see, by municipality relatively close. Few of the villages were higher than their neighboring towns, so the people in the villages were more interested than the people in the towns they lived in. So a little overrepresented the villages versus the town residents, but the city of Ithaca accounted for 330 of the responses, and that's the only one I remember off the top of my head. So it was a pretty good portion of the responses. The other group that was did not respond to the survey very well was the anyone on the college campuses. So Cornell, Ithaca College, and Tompkins, TC3, I think accounted for two or three residential respondents. So very few people overall of where they lived. We did the survey to give us an idea of how happy people are with law enforcement and safety. So how satisfied are you with current law enforcement services being provided to you at home? And the answer, when we look at a community overall, the percent to the far right, 26% were very satisfied, 35% were satisfied. You get a few agencies that kind of break that norm. Village of Cuca Heights had the highest percent for any answer when people said they were very satisfied. And that was, again, that was several dozen residents responded to that, so that wasn't just the police stuffing the ballot. That was representative of folks from their community, so 76% report being very satisfied. The one of the interesting things with the village of Dryden is when we asked it, it was before they had gone back to 24-hour policing, so we don't know if that number is lower because they want 24-hour policing or that they're unhappy that they're going back. So we didn't do that second question. It was just that kind of that first-level question. And when we look for the county outside of the village or the city, it would be the column that's titled Other Within the County. there is some pretty good satisfaction. 24% are 1 in 4 say very satisfied, 38% say satisfied, 27% fall in the neutral, and only 12% are either unsatisfied or very unsatisfied. Yes.
Did you stratify by ethnicity and income and location? Did you stratify by any of that information?
We did by some of that, as it was reported. So here's some groups that, and we go into a little bit more detail in the report. So off the top of my head, we had racially, ethnically, we were happy with where we were. We didn't quite match the county, but we're getting close. There was overrepresented by white, but not too far. And as far as income, impoverished people did not take the survey. So it was generally people who there were very few below the poverty line, or at least who identified that they were. And almost no one of Asian descent answered the questions.
Which is 10% of the population.
Right.
Given that the population that tends to be the most affected would be low-income, potentially minority groups, you captured the response of the white people in Tompkins County, primarily educated, middle-income.
It was definitely middle income. And again, the numbers I do have them. We did look at that, and we did have a decent representation from other minority groups other than Asian.
Okay.
We went as far, we had the,
but
the
middle income.
What's that?
But middle income.
But middle income and up. Yes.
Okay. Just something for us to keep in mind, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we asked them to rate the safety of your community, and the answer is most of the people who answered the survey feel safe. Between very safe and safe, it's over 75%. And that, again, you know, the answer to safe, as you could have neighbors living next to each other, and one feels safe and one does not. So that isn't necessarily a great representation. You know, I use the analogy of a ladder. I have no problem climbing up a ladder to clean my gutters. And I would feel safe doing that. If you were to ask my wife to do that, she'd get up about rung 3, and she's unsafe. So safety is a personal feeling. And it's hard when we do this survey to gauge just what does that really mean in the community, other than we would know if we got a lot of unsafe, and then we'd look at those comments to see maybe if we could find a trend in that. What is your support for potential restructuring? Now, that was a little bit longer question, but this is the gist of it. And what we take away from this answer is that there are some in the community that are willing to think about it. There are certainly some who are very supportive, but you also have some who are very unsupportive. And you know, we looked at it by community. Those in Cuga Heights were less supportive of it. They feel they would be losing some of their control, but outside of that, there were no real outliers that this chart would show up for almost every other community. So that just kind of covers the state of what there is for law enforcement in Tompkins County today, and you know, gives us a kind of that established the baseline that allowed us to look at what some of the options were. So we have, actually I want to preface this by, if you were tasked as a group, as a community, to build a law enforcement agency for Tompkins County in 2017 with a clean slate, you probably wouldn't create the law enforcement services you have today. You would probably do it in a little bit different way. And that's, you know, we were asked to look at options that could be implemented. And they each one of these we feel could be implemented to improve services, control costs, or both. And it's the, you know, the decision, is there a desire to move in that direction? So we explored the status quo, expanded shared services and collaboration, contracting for services, the county outside city agencies merge, and a single police agency is created. each one of these I'll go into in a little bit more detail, but I wanted to establish kind of that field of where we were looking. So the status quo to creating a single law enforcement agency, and you can do that in two different ways in New York State. Status quo, I want to highlight, you have separate organizations that already have very good collaboration. They share record keeping. They share a communication system. They share on training. There's a lot of things that go on very effectively today. We looked at what, you know, there would be minimal changes to the status quo if this went forward. Today, the cost of total cost of personnel services is about $18 million for the departments that we were studying. So this doesn't include the troopers or Trumansburg. Cayuga Heights Police Department has the highest cost per full-time equivalent of an employee today. IPD, however, has the highest potential costs, or has the potential to have the highest FTE costs if they get a new contract and a retroactive raise. They have been working without a contract since 2011, so their rate, their wages have been steady since then. If they were to receive a retroactive, and we model that of about 2% a year, their price goes up, so they are the highest cost per FTE. And there are varying levels of service that reflect the communities. We talked about the number of hours that you're in service, the number of patrol officers on the street. It varies based on what the community needs are and what their decisions are. So just a quick look at what's the total cost per FTE, and this is on the year that you're operating. This doesn't take into account any post-employment benefits, but this is your retirement, this is your health care, this is your salary. Right now, Cayuga Heights officers are about $158,000 per year, just ahead of the city at $154,000. County sheriff is $133,000, and then Groton and Dryden are substantially lower, and that has to do with their benefit packages as well as the fact, particularly in Groton, of the use of part-time employees. We modeled what would happen if IPD received a retro raise of 2% a year going back. What would their costs have looked like in 2017 had that happened? Because we anticipate that that may happen at some point. Their costs then go higher than Cayuga Heights to about $173,000 per FTE. And no one else has changed on this chart. We illustrate that because these costs are probably going to continue to go up. Cayuga Heights, Ithaca, the sheriffs, and Dryden all have collective bargaining agreements, and all those CBAs have raises built into them.
Could you go back one slide?
Sure. So $154 to $173, up $19,000. So one of the things we talked about, and some of these suggestions are our baking, others are coming from the law enforcement community that we interviewed, are different areas where they could expand their services. Training, they already do a lot of collaboration. Some of the thoughts are that there could be even more in planning, record keeping, particularly with some of the smaller agencies. This is a little bit of a challenge for them. And when it comes to delivering, you don't want to have, you know, one guy teaching to a class of five on a topic and somebody else teaching to a class of seven on a topic the next week. Why not have one class of 12 if you can make that work? So to be able to share some of those services across. Fleet maintenance, everyone's operating the same types of vehicles. The maintenance shops are being handled a little bit differently across the communities. They're getting outfitted. Usually, at least the two larger agencies are using the same vendor. Perhaps there's a way to squeeze a little bit more out of that vendor. Maybe there's a way to improve some of the efficiencies across. This is kind of working at the edges. You're not going to see a dramatic savings, but you may see some over time. We talked about criminal investigations. Just use kind of off the top of my head numbers that there's about eight investigators for the county and a similar number for the city, and they operate really as generalists. You have a few that specialize in narcotics, but really everyone's, and a couple others that specialize in juvenile, But really, everyone's has to be a generalist. So when that case hits their desk, they have to dig into it. They work well together when there's a big case. People pool their resources in the community. The crime solving, the investigations work well involving the sheriff, the county. They may pull in one of the villages and the troopers as well. So they're already doing this on the big incidents. And one of the thoughts was that if you were able to take an investigator and really have them become a specialist in cybercrime, for example, they may become more effective in that topic area. So all of the cybercrime events that are occurring in the county and the city would get referred to one investigator. And whether that's an IPD officer or a sheriff's officer, they're handling it for everybody. And similarly, you may be able to develop an expertise in a white-collar accounting-type fraud. That another person would develop that specialty in. So allow them to get a little bit more effective in doing that work. The other is the more coordination that happens between the investigators, the better for the community as a whole. I received a tale when I was meeting with both sets of investigators of different cases of where they were hunting the same criminal, going after the same series of crimes. That one was happening in the city, one was happening in the county. They're going after the same person, didn't necessarily realize it till late in the investigation or when the person was arrested. So if there's a little more collaboration earlier on, there already is some. They do meet on a monthly basis, but there's got to be some. There were suggestions there might be ways to leverage the record keeping and the technology to move that forward. Unified policy and procedure. Again, there's a lot of similarities between the two, but if everyone were working out of the same playbook, you'd make sure that when you're working together on a scene, everyone's going to approach the traffic stop the same way. And also, when there's a need for a legal review of a policy, you only have to do it once. You don't have to have five agencies do have a legal review. You have one, and you can have variations of it because, in reality, if you're doing that traffic stop and your backup is 15 minutes away versus 15 seconds away, you have to approach that differently. So everyone needs to have a little bit of variation. And one of the last areas we looked at was the potential of co-location and collaboration of some services. Right now, IPD is actively evaluating its space needs. And I know the sheriff's office may also reconsider some law enforcement relocation based on some other work we've done at CGR. We don't know how far either of those discussions go, but if there is serious discussion for both of you about a new facility, it makes sense to build it together. If you're building a locker room for 100 employees, it's less expensive than building one for 50 and one for 60. If you're going to build a training room that can be used by everybody, it's less expensive to build one. When you're building evidence storage, it's less expensive to build a larger one than two smaller ones. There's a lot of different areas where if you're looking to build a substantial renovation, where if you're doing it for everybody at once, it makes some sense. Both departments have receptionists, so a common reception area might benefit. And going back up to bullets, criminal investigations, if you had everyone who is working at the felony and higher level crimes working on one hallway, that collaboration, that casual interaction is going to increase, and you're going to have that better interaction between them. So those are our areas that we want to put on the table for expanded shared services and collaboration. Any questions about those before I kind of begin to move on?
Martha.
I know you have a time limit. I don't know. Just to put this on. Okay. I'm wondering about, there might be advantages also of having the sheriff's office in the center of the county as opposed to in the northeast. And then I'm really interested in the timing of the city's considerations for their space. And what were Common Council's questions on your report? So that's three things.
Sure. There would certainly be some benefit to being geographically located in the center. The sheriff definitely breaks up their patrol zones. They're not waiting at their office for the call to come in and then go out. They're actively patrolling elsewhere in the county. And when you have the lake slicing deeply in, until someone's going to put a tunnel crossing the lake, you're going to have that little bit of that issue.
Due to salt mines.
Are they going to fill those with gas?
Yes, I
am. The city's timeline, it has been an active issue with their building. They've had plans for renovations that have been drawn up and voted down and drawn up again. It is a hot topic for them. So there was definitely some interest towards this, towards this idea of co-location.
And then what kind of questions did they have in response to your report? Maybe that's a general conversation at the end of this.
Why don't I wait till I get to all of them, okay. And then we'll kind of
thanks
lay how that goes. But hold me to that. Make sure I answer that, because I'll try and dodge it. Okay. Contracting for services. So what this is really a straight intermunicipal agreement where one community is hiring another to provide that service. It's a replacement. This comes in two different flavors. One is a replacement for existing services, and the other would be to provide new services. Replacement for existing services, there's a variety of potential partners, people who could work with each other. The sheriff's office could provide this service to Groton, Dryden, any of the villages, in theory to the city as well. And that contract is based on effort and performance. We talk about effort, that may be, you know, one deputy on patrol at all times, or performance. We don't care whether you have necessarily a deputy here all the time, but as long as they do these things, they, you know, knock on all these doors on a given day, and they drive these many miles in our streets and are there, you know, doing traffic for this amount of time. But if they end up being in a patrol somewhere else for an hour or two because of something, that's okay as long as they're doing these things in our town. So you can base it on either that base effort or task performance. Given that FTE cost, we talked about few of these make sense unless there's a subsidy from the contracting agency down. So right now, the village of Dryden and Groton, it would not make sense for them to contract with the county because they're providing that service themselves. There might be administrative rationale for it. There's some hidden costs in their budget that don't necessarily show up in that 80 or FTEs, but it's not enough really to make up that $50,000 per officer difference. However, Cayuga Heights, it could make some sense. For them to, if they were right now, based on the costs we have in front of us, for them to contract for services for the sheriff's office, they could get the exact same number of FTEs for a 10% lower cost. So they could go to the sheriff's office and say, we want to have this. We want to have a person in charge of our zone there all the time and somebody on patrol all the time and an investigator part of the time, and, you know, get that same number of FTEs for a lower cost than they have today.
So the one difference, though, which I understand what you were saying, that the cost being higher, there's no logic except for the fact that they have how intense of a turnover?
Where?
In Groton, for example.
In Groton, so their turnover, their full-time officer turns over every 18 months, give or take. Very often where that turnover goes is to one of the other law enforcement agencies in the county, so they may go to work for either the city or the sheriff's office.
And how long are they in training for? What's the overlap with the existing? Do they have overlap? Is there a reduction in quality of service when one is new and initiating familiarity? Do they come from Groton? Do they end up moving in from? Do you have any of that sense?
Sure. From the start of the academy, that, you know, the day they start their training, to when they're ready to work on their own is about 10 months, 6 months or so of that in the academy, another 3 or 4 months of that finishing, doing what they call field training time. And that varies a little bit by agency, but not very much, because a lot of that is state mandated. Mm-hmm. And I may be off by a little bit on those figures, but I'm pretty comfortable with that. So when their full-timer says, you know what, I just got hired, I'm going to go work for the sheriff's office, and my last day is now, you know, 2 weeks from today, they use part-timers to fill that role until they have a full-timer in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they may increase their number of part-timers. Groton reported that they have a pretty consistent pool of part-time staff.
That are okay picking up the slack temporary.
Yes,
and
because they have full-time jobs that keep them engaged.
So but it's not an issue, really. I mean, I would think that
there is a little bit of it, but it's not a substantial one right now. You know, their officer in charge, the equivalent of a chief in Groton, is a retired detective from the city police. And he works to what he's allowed to work as a retired officer. And he's happy doing it, and they're happy with their workload.
There. Works for now.
It does. You know, this is something, again, you know, we talk about what we put up there on the website. We leave it up there for a long time. Somebody might choose to come back to this in 3 years, 4 years, when you know, their officer in charge chooses to, I don't want to do this anymore, and the village board says, you know what, this is really a lot of work for us to manage this. Maybe we do want a contract.
Right. It's not really thinking of succession plans. I think that's where I'm kind of getting at.
There are some issues with succession. You know, if you're asking these questions as a village board member, you know, you have had three chiefs in 3 years in the village of Dryden, and their new chief has never worked anywhere but the village of Dryden, so he doesn't have a very big depth of experience from other communities. Now, that may be okay, but that's, you know, that was their decision to hire him, and he's doing a lot of different things than were being done by the previous chief, because the village board has changed over and says, you know what, we want to go back to full-time staffing. So he's changing, you know, doing different models to do that. And so the other example of providing new services, for example, the town of Ithaca could hire either Cayuga Heights, IPD, or the Sheriff's Office to provide patrolling services to the town. This came up actually during a couple of our public engagement meetings where either residents of the town of Ithaca or common council members from the city of Ithaca stated that they were getting concerned or had concerns about their law enforcement services from people in the town of Ithaca who felt they weren't getting the services they deserved. We didn't dig too deep into that. You know, it wasn't really in the scope of our engagement to go and spend a lot of time with the town of Ithaca to see what there was to that, but that was an issue that a couple of people brought up to this. So when we were creating an example of how could you provide new services, we chose to use them. And an arrangement would, be based on negotiation with performance criteria. You can segment it to the town outside village budget. So Cayuga Heights is in the town of Ithaca. They wouldn't be double taxed for providing for police services. And the costs could range from $700,000 to $0.9 million from IPD, really for one officer working 24/7 is what we kind of modeled just for the town of Ithaca. So that was just for an example of what could be done. And, you know, right, it made sense as well if the town of Ithaca hires the city of Ithaca for their fire protection services for a good portion of the town. One of the other options we wanted to take a look at was the county outside city agencies merge. So all or some of Cayuga Heights, Dryden, Groton, and Trumansburg could transition in the sheriff's office operations. And, you know, you could start with one today and two of them in a year from now and, you know, three of them 4 years down the road. As we discussed, it really makes sense. You have to have village sections. You're not going to abandon those population centers because that's where a lot of your law enforcement activity would be occurring. But instead of being staffed by one of their local officers, they would be a staff by a sheriff's office, and you would, instead of a chief, you would appoint a lieutenant or a captain or somebody along those terms to manage the operation inside that village. So the village leaders could say, okay, you know, I'm responsible and I'm going to interact with, you know, lieutenant so-and-so, and they're going to be the one who's telling me what's going on in my community. Officers would keep their positions, although titles may change. So someone who's a police officer would become a sheriff's deputy. Someone who's a chief might be lateraled into a lieutenant. It's not necessarily a guarantee. That all comes into different negotiations. So how does this get paid for? Local municipalities, so how do you keep the other residents of Tompkins County from standing up on their chair and grumping, you know, why are we doing more service in this community and not in mine? The answer is that the local municipality could support the service through reduced share of sales tax or a contractual agreement. So Cayuga Heights could do this for less than their current operational costs. Dryden Police, Groton Police would have higher costs for the same number of FTEs, but could probably have the same service for slightly fewer FTEs. So it might make it a little bit more cost neutral for them. When we talk about this, the reduced share of the sales tax, there is a little bit of a precedent for that, where the county holds back some of the sales tax that goes to the city to pay for some of the 911 dispatchers and that from when you took over their police agencies. Questions about this potential model? Again, this is a contract. Yes, Martha.
Just in looking ahead, I would hope that it would that model would wouldn't be a defined dollar amount, but it would be a defined dollar amount that would escalate from year to year, and not just a percentage of the sales tax.
Right. Yes, I mean, you'd look at it to be able to cover your costs is what the goal would be.
Anna.
So overall, to even out services in this, the cost to receive the service would go down in the municipalities where it's currently above the county and would go up for those where it's currently below the county. Is that correct? To equal out?
So the cost for the village and full-time equivalent officers, or to make straight financial sense, the cost the county would charge them would have to be less than what they're paying today.
Well, I agree, okay. But they're currently for it to be something they would logically want to join, yes, that would be the case. And yet they are currently paying significantly less than what we're paying at the county. So that was the piece I guess I'm not understanding. I know that Cayuga Heights is paying more, so that one's more logical to me.
Right.
It's the other one. So that's one question that I have, and the other is that there was a lot of conversation at the public hearings, the public meetings that you held, about the concern for coverage still not being sufficient in the very rural parts of the community. So I guess I'm sort of looking for how that might be redistributed so that that problem that we already have is also addressed in this solution, if this were something we were going to consider.
So that latter issue of the level of service in the county as a whole was something we didn't really focus a great deal of attention to, as to whether or not you have the right number of deputies on the road today.
Mm-hmm.
In interviews, I was told that ideally you'd have one or two more cars on patrol, particularly on your busiest shifts, than you do today.
In the county.
Mm-hmm. And for every new vehicle that you put on patrol, we're talking about 4.5 to, depending on how much time off, 5 full-time employees to staff one vehicle. So every patrol, every new shift that you want, that's 5 more officers that you need to put out, 5 more deputies that you need to hire. So we did not look at that staffing model. And the challenge with that is there is no right answer. There's kind of that safety question. There is no right answer as to what the right number of police officers are that you have on the road. There's no per capita standard that we could use.
Mm-hmm. And the other question was economics.
Yeah, so the economics of it, the only way that would make sense for the village of Dryden or the village of Groton is to be able to identify a level of service that the county is willing to offer for the price they're willing to pay. So that becomes a negotiation.
Which could be higher than what they currently are.
Right. In which case they would say, we don't want to do it. And it's important for them to be able to also consider their other costs beyond just what they're paying for their officers. For example, the amount of time the village clerk has to spend on payroll for the police officers. That cost goes away, or they're able to spend that time on something else. The amount that they have to pay for insurance for their police officers, that would go away. So that's not wrapped into that FTE cost.
Jim?
Given the fact that you had a limited number of people in your survey, in all questions that you asked, could you, or did you surmise that there may be a portion of the county that could be covered better than it is now with police services?
One of the things we did, and I didn't present the slides on it, is we took a look at what the response times were. And we broke it out actually by community. And as you get more rural, the longer your response times are. So the question is that okay? What is the right level of, what is the right length of response? If you're calling because somebody had broken into your car last night, whether it takes them 5 minutes to get there or 25 minutes to get there is a matter of convenience, but not of safety. If you're calling because there's an intruder in your house, that's a substantially different answer. So we tried to take a look at the higher priority calls, and again, we showed, and it's not an unusual finding when you get outside of the more densely populated areas. This lower the response time because the resources are spread thin. If we were to go back at the map, the sheriff's office has either three or four cars patrolling, and the troopers have two or three, depending on time of day and who you ask, patrolling. So that's a lot of area that they have to cover, a lot of geography.
Thank you.
But I guess the other thing I want to add to that is there is a use of the closest vehicle for those high priority, and it is closest of any vehicle. We looked at incidents that you would have a Trumansburg car, a DEC vehicle, and a Cougar Heights vehicle all end up on the same call because they happen to be closer and more available than maybe the sheriffs were at that point in time, and then the sheriffs were there. Or you'd have resources from almost everybody in the county at some of the events that during the years that we tracked. We had, six or seven different agencies involved in that response.
Yeah. We're at about an hour.
Okay. I have about a few more slides, so let's get talking. This is actually the last one that goes into a lot of detail, which is the single police agency created. And I have to be careful as we go through this. There's two different ways that you can create a single police agency, and I try and walk through both of them in parallel here. What this assumes is that all public law enforcement officers work for a single agency. So everyone who wears a uniform that says county, city, or village is working for a single agency. The troopers wouldn't be involved, obviously, and neither would the colleges. Two ways to do it. Either a county police department, and this happens in three counties in New York State that I'm aware of, Westchester, Nassau, and Suffolk. And you'll notice that all three are right around New York City and have a much larger population. The other thing that's important to note is in none of those are they the sole law enforcement agency in that county. In many cases, they will serve the towns outside the village or outside the city, but there's also other law enforcement agencies in those counties. So they're not responsible for the whole county.
How is that different from ours?
It's a police department which has a appointed chief that's hired by the county and screened that way. Their focus is on law enforcement. They're not responsible for corrections or civil papers. That's the next bullet, which is the sheriff would remain and would remain being elected for dealing with corrections and serving of papers.
Thank you.
So, and the other way to do this is for the county sheriff's office to expand and cover all that territory. And you remain with the current structure of the sheriff's office, but now there's a lot more responsibility, a lot more officers reporting there. So cover all municipalities. And the services have that opportunity to be tailored based on expectations and service demands. Would you, for example, have a metropolitan section that serves, the city of Ithaca, but also some of the commercial area that immediately is adjacent to the city of Ithaca, and be able to do that patrolling perhaps in a slightly more logical manner than it happens today? Would you maintain a zone in each one of the villages that there is today to have a place for them to work? The chances are, yes, that's how it would happen. But that would be the decision of law enforcement. With advice and suggestion from the engaged municipalities. So you would want to make sure you have good communication from the villages to the sheriff, or in the other case, to the appointed police chief, saying, this is what we want, and this is how we expect to get it. And if there's a need to have a higher level of service, this is how we're willing to pay for it. Implementation for either option could be a switchover where the change is made at once on a particular cutout date, or there's an attrition of officers and a shift of positions. So this is where a Cayuga Heights officer retires, and in order to fill that position, Chief Steinmetz calls up the sheriff and says, okay, we had one guy retire, so I need somebody to work C-line for me, and this is what his rotation is going to be, and the deputy gets assigned to that. And over time, that department transitions, so it's entirely a sheriff's operation. And I, you know, picking on the two of them because they're both in the room. But you could do that with any one of the departments. So this is the big what if, where I got to play with my Excel spreadsheet and throw out a hypothetical situation that will never come into existence, but it gives you an idea of what could happen. So if all expenses from 2017 for law enforcement were funded through property taxes at the county level, the costs shift. And right now you can't say that all expenses for the sheriff's office are covered by property tax, but that's the example that we did because that's kind of that worst case on what would happen to the property tax. So what happens for the county? Your existing rate goes from $662 up to $8.50 per thousand, 28% increase. You take a home of median value, $210,000, that's about $400 more a year that they would be paying for law enforcement. That's the one community where it's a negative. In each of these other four communities, it's a savings. When you look at that net, that furthest column on the right, that's the net impact. So we calculated and we looked at when we talk about the potential rate, that's their potential village rate. So it drops quite significantly in Cayuga Heights, Dryden, Groton, City of Ithaca, all of them in that 40, 50, 60% range. That's how much, if they were able to pull the cost of law enforcement out of their property tax, that's what would drop in their property tax. Pretty substantial savings in those communities. And even with their county tax going up by $2, or not quite $2, they would have a net savings in that range there. So from, you know, $200 a year to almost $1,000 or $940 in the city of Ithaca. That's if you just do a straight property tax shift with the same number of officers you have today. You could soften that blow in the county residents by working with your sales tax so that you are not, so you're having those four communities, actually five because Trumansburg would be in here as well, that are receiving a higher level of law enforcement are not receiving as much of the share from the county sales tax that they get today. And you're holding back some of that to pay for that higher level of law enforcement that they would be receiving. So that this could be a softer blow if you choose to do that. The other thing to look at is the size of the police force might be reduced through better operational deployment. Would you be able to eliminate some positions? So right now, if you look at your costs, you have 125 FTEs in law enforcement today. And that costs you right about $18 million, $17.9 million. And we just modeled out if you were at the current IPD rate, which is kind of your highest rate, the potential IPD rate is the highest rate, and the sheriff's office is a little bit lower than that, you see what your costs are in millions. So $16.6 million. If everyone went to that, you would save $1.3 million across the county if everyone were under the sheriff's office model. If you were able to reduce the number of officers needed to provide that service, you would begin to see some savings. So if you only needed 120 to provide that same level of service, that versus compared to 125, you would see savings and going on across. Yes, Anna.
This is assuming that we're all at sufficient levels now. And so you're looking at we're good and you want to create efficiencies. But every single from the IPD, from sheriff's office, from corrections officers to road patrol, I'm consistently hearing that there isn't enough. And we are, both the city and the county, are looking at increasing. So I don't know if you had feedback from the department's law enforcement office, the department's sharing that feedback to you. I'm just curious.
Every law enforcement agency would like some more resources. Although I bet if you were to ask any department head in the county,
absolutely,
they would like more resources.
Absolutely,
so
but I'm
it becomes at a decision at the elected official level where you decide what your resources are.
For sure, but then, you know, the way that we would need to make that decision then is the time to from call to arrival. And I think that should determine, certainly.
So response time is certainly one metric that law enforcement and other public safety agencies use to judge their performance, but it's not the only one. And, you know, one of the harder things to measure are activities that are generically referred to as community policing. One of the theories behind that is you actually use fewer officers to respond to your 911 calls. You keep them busier, but you're then having other officers dedicated to doing interactions with the community.
You have less crime, ultimately.
And ultimately, in the future, that's an investment leading towards less crime. So there's a lot of different ways to do that. And right now, you have five, six different agencies doing it six different ways. So that's one concept that you could say, okay, let's bring it together under one agency so we're all working commonly because although the type of activity that occurs in the city of Ithaca might be different than is occurring in Ulysses, it's not that different. And, you know, you have some of the same issues, you know, the impact of poverty and the impact of racial discrimination and, you know, what happens in those communities. If you're having discussions about them as a community as a whole, you can use your resources a little bit differently than I got to run to get to make sure I have somebody to answer that next call or to stop that next speeder.
Okay. Martha?
First, I'm confused. The current cost is $17.9 million.
Yes.
That's a blended rate?
So that's a blended rate. So that's when we add up what the personnel costs are for the five departments that we studied,
mm-hmm.
we come up with $17.9 million. If we were to take that, and that's for 125 FTEs, if you take that 125 FTEs and you use the sheriff's office FTE cost,
okay.
you get $16.6 million. If you use the current IPD cost, you get $19.2 million. And if you use kind of the high end in this community cost, which would be IPD after a theoretical settlement, you get a $21.6 million.
Okay. And in the report, I read that table wrong. Okay. So if you're saying, tell me again, the 17.9 is if you use which rate?
That's when you just run the simple math of adding up all the personnel costs for the five departments we evaluated.
At their individual rate.
So you get that much lower rate in Groton, you get that higher rate in Cuga Heights, you just add those all up together.
I see. And okay, thank you very much.
Jim?
The numbers are startling at best, and I could add in Trumansburg, they're about 700,000 a year, so you could put that on top of that. The single police agency scenario that you have where the city of Ithaca ends up with a 53% savings, but for them to be involved, they would have to first dissolve their department and then go to a referendum. Am I correct in that?
Not just for them.
For everyone.
For everyone.
Right. Okay.
For every village, To get away, you'd have to change. And frankly, you know, if you were to consider a separate police agency with an appointed chief, you would have to change your charter, as I understand it. So there's a lot of change to get there. And so, you know, it becomes important what are our positives of doing this? And we try to take a high-level view of it. Hopefully there would be more as we dug into it a little bit more.
Okay. Martha?
Yeah. We've done a blended thing a couple of times. I mean, TCAT comes to mind, and it takes time to move people all to one scale and one union, et cetera. In a situation like this, do you have any guess on how many years it would take to move, to try to blend and end up with one force?
So the roughly 70% of the Ithaca Police Department has been there for less than 10 years. Mm-hmm. So assuming that they're going to not retire until they're at 20, many of them will wait until they're 25 to retire, you know, you have 70% of your officers who have at least 10 years to get there, if not 15. So that's a lot. The comment that was given to me is, wow, we should have had this discussion 10 years ago before they had a big bump going through the snake as it is. So.
And then I'm just also aware that the wrong people could retire. I mean, as you're trying to restructure, you might have retirements in positions that don't support, as you said, sort of taking some of the hierarchy out of it, et cetera. So you might have, it could be really unpredictable. So,
in order for a change of this scale to occur, you need really dynamic and positive leadership with people who are willing to check their egos at the door. And it's people at all levels, from the officer on the road to the elected officials, need to be able to say, you know what, we're doing this for the betterment of the community. Mm-hmm. This would be an innovative solution. One of the questions that I was asked at City Council was, where else has this happened in New York State? And the answer is nowhere. In the country, so there's a couple of places where it's happened in the country. So one of the more grave and drastic examples is Camden, New Jersey, where the Camden city called up the sheriff and said, we're going out of business with our police department at the end of the year. Have at it. And they had to create from ground up a police agency for the city of Camden. And that's only 2 or 3 years old, so it's kind of hard to know where that long-term responses, but after 18 months, the community was happy with the answer. Some of the other, you know, more gradual changes have happened. Indianapolis, as they've gone through their metropolitan government development, that happened there. Charlotte, Mecklenburg County is another example. Those are just off the top of my head. I had promised to include in the final version of a report that you'll get some of those examples. And I've got 4 or 5 of them that would be able to just kind of play out as to what they did and how they got from their status quo to a single agency.
And does your full report do more of a deeper financial analysis of the sales tax and evening out the expenses, et cetera? Because I'm looking at the increase in county property taxes and, like, that'd be the end of the story, but
yes. Well, a little bit, but not a lot of it, because there is variability in how you set that sharing. You know, that's a decision that gets made by the legislature.
I think 2-3 weeks at least to get this done.
Get after it.
Why don't we keep going?
Yeah. Okay. So just to kind of wrap up where we went. After the baseline report, our options, we held these meetings with public engagement. We had 3 meetings during the last week of August. As Joe mentioned earlier, we did not have great turnout. Less than 20 of the 33 people who showed up were not public officials or people involved with the study from the start. We did, however, have about 40 who watched it over one of our streams. We experimented with Facebook streaming during 2 of the meetings, and their metrics gave us, I think, 42 people who clicked on it at some point in time. At those meetings, the opinions were all over the map. And we give into a little bit more detail in our printed report. We had some who were really in favor of it, and some of who were absolutely not, I don't want to change. And we had some suggestions. Really when we talk about what, I do have these feedback. Yeah, we'll share it here. The improvements that were suggested, more officers on the street, more diversity among the officers, better community connections, were the top three, and following a little bit later in the numbers, we're talking about social justice and training related to mental health issues. So those were suggested improvements. If you receive the same or better service at similar costs, would you be supportive of moving to a single police agency? Of those who answered that question, so again, this isn't huge numbers, but those who were there on that night, 7 said yes, 6 said no, and 9 said, give me more information, before they could make up their mind. And what were your concerns about going to a big agency? Concerns of loss of control, so not having that community feel with their officers, that loss of that community connection, and the potential that there would be increased costs for their communities. So what are the next steps as far as we're concerned? We had those public meetings. We're through with those. I can now line out. Elected leaders will be presented with the final report. What we're going to include the final report, however, are the baselines, the options, the feedback from the community meetings, and we've had a couple of questions related to clarification, particularly around examples of where this may have been done that we'll be able to add. When all is said and done, you'll have the baseline report, an options report, and then a findings and feedback report. Any action for any of these changes is going to require a formal planning and allow for community input. We're not going to be done in 3 weeks. There's a lot of work that would have to be done to make any of these changes happen. You need to get consensus. But I do want to emphasize there is the opportunity to make some of this change, and you can see the fiscal savings over the long term. You're not going to see anything big in year one or even year five, but we're talking 10 or 15 years out. All of the documents are published on the project website, and that's and other things to consider. Look at an option or two where further study is needed to clarify the scope of change, steps to implement, and potential benefits. This is the charge to the elected officials. Engage in public discussions about detailed options. So we've kind of laid out some skeletal outline of what could happen, and you need to put a little bit more detail on that before you're going to be able to give someone the ability to make that yes or no decision. The unions will need to be at the table early if you're going to get their support, and support, this probably wouldn't go very far. And implementation steps, we talked about, you might have referendum, several. Charter revisions and collective bargaining will all come into play. So this is not an easy set of changes. When you're going to the further end, some of the collaboration stuff, that's a different story. That might be easier to tackle without some of this.
Paul, thank you very much. That was a great presentation and a really useful report. Why don't we spend a little bit of time on further comments and questions from legislators? Dooley.
Thank you. Where did you get the value for the median price house? It's not the one that I'm used to using for our county.
I have to rewind where I went. I believe I used census data for that and rounded up. I think census data comes in a little bit over 200, and I rounded up to 210. And I double-checked that with Zillow, and it was saying the median sales in the county were 210.
Yeah, we often talk about this. That's probably the value of new homes sold.
Yes.
Ours is the average value of all residential properties in the county. So it must be that the value of homes sold is a bit higher than the average value of just an ordinary house that hasn't sold recently. So that's what we typically use, which
it's
is
only
about
like $20,000. It wouldn't move the meter that much. Yeah.
Okay, Martha.
I'm interested in the what was in our packet on the shared services and collaboration, and I mean I think I'm really glad you've looked at the unified force. We needed to look at that. Certainly in when you add the time element and could we see some benefit in a shorter period of time than a long time? I think the training, you know, collaborating on training, fleet management, all these things are really interesting and would definitely be facilitated by joint physical space between the sheriff and the police, the city police, without having to deal with everything that's involved in blending the departments. So for the committee, for the staff, whatever, I'm definitely interested in the city's reactions. I'm interested for the county to really try to move forward on some of these more manageable, more, say, pragmatic ideas. And especially, I think, the, you know, given what the jail study committee is looking at, I think it's a unique moment. So I'm interested in what the city had to say. I'm also, were you planning to do a report to the three villages that were a part of this, to their elected bodies?
Joe, I'll...
No, the contract was scoped to include two presentations, one to the city, one to the county. We reached out to all the villages and let them know this would be the meeting that they should probably attend, but if they can't do this, they should go to the city meeting.
Okay.
So it's just these two.
And just because we're pressed for time, we have the jail or the sheriff's report we want to get to. It seems like we've got a tremendous number of questions of not only what looks feasible, but also we need to decide on process, because obviously this would never be a county decision. This is going to be a intermunicipal government decision. So I think we're going to have a fair amount of conversation about how to think about the issues we have in this report. I agree, Martha, that these are good things to think about, and there's some real opportunity here, but the amount of work and the heavy lifting, we have to be very realistic about what is actually possible here. I tend to look at the simpler things as the things to go to first, as long as we're not closing any doors. No, there doesn't seem to be any downside to thinking in the bigger term about consolidation, but shared services that are easily reachable, we could actually save the taxpayers a fair amount of money and do some good things for how we're policing in our community. So that, I think, is where we go next. And certainly the next Public Safety Committee meeting, we should set aside some time to try to talk about that process and how to participate with the other governmental entities. So at any rate, Anna, you had something else?
Just a quick question. You said there were three segments of the report. There are things that you're still going to be adding, which is the summary findings, recommendations. Those things have not been completely consolidated, correct?
Right. So that would be beyond the options. It's the feedback that we received at the public meetings, and then answers to some clarifications to some of the technical questions that we've received. Really, the biggest one that I can think of is giving the examples of the other communities where it's a merger, a big scale merger has happened.
So. And did you do interviews in the community for this study, similar to what you did with the jail study meeting with the stakeholders?
Yeah. So
that was.
We had, I didn't include that as part of the baseline, but we did have three different public meetings with focus groups, and we detailed how we did that in the baseline.
Right,
but, you know, we met, we tried to get representative groups. We had some target areas that were invited. And when we found an area that was underrepresented, we actually went to the Juneteenth event to try, because we had very poor minority representation up until that point.
Right. The one thing that I would just end with for myself, I like that you you know, kind of pushed it as far as it could go. I know that it's very easy to just kind of bite at the edges of things that would help, but I like the idea, Rich, that you said of keeping the door open of whatever we do short term to keep the option open. I'm not afraid of being as, you know, I guess as aggressive as we need to be to ultimately do what's right for the community. I just don't know what that is. Looking from this, I think we do have a lot more conversation, but, you know, Tompkins County has taken the lead in a lot of things. I don't see why we can't take the lead here and be courageous in that way, as long as it works. So thank you for that.
Okay, Mark.
I have to say, county taxpayers are not going to benefit.
There's a lot to look at here.
Yeah, no, I think the city has, if this is going to really happen, I think the city has to show that they really want to
There's a lot to figure out.
40% of your county taxpayers do benefit, right off the top.
60%
don't.
Yep.
Don't. So.
To be continued.